So we went over some understanding on judgment for the past week or 2 weeks maybe. But the reason we went there is because we were originally going over the topic of marriage. And we kind of had to take that side, you know, get sidetracked and go over that real quick. Because we had to essentially explain that in the eyes of the Heavenly Father and in what is taught through Christ, and all throughout the scriptures, is that divorce is not acceptable to the Most High or Christ. Divorce is not acceptable. It's not something that you could do just because you want to. There's only one reason that is the only lawful reason that you could actually divorce your husband or your wife. And that's why when we learn about sins worthy of death and the understanding of judgment, it makes it easy for us to see, oh, that's why the Heavenly Father allows us to separate and put away your husband or your wife, because they committed adultery or they committed fornication. Which fornication, as we're going to go over eventually, is any sexual wickedness, okay? Or any spiritual fornication, which is going into the worship of false gods, like we were going over on the past Sabbath. So these are two things that could only cause you to basically be, that allows you only to be divorced by your husband or your wife. Let's start off in the book of Malachi. Start off in the book of Malachi to just review real quick how the Most High hates divorce. And that's something that, unfortunately, because our people don't know the laws of the Heavenly Father, that's something that happens constantly. It happens all the time. And then because of brothers that are set up in our nation and are looked upon highly by those that are unlearned, meaning those that do not know the scriptures, some of them have set up traditions and set up doctrines that are not found in the scriptures as ways of getting married or reasons for divorcing or reasons for putting away your wife. And that is causing a lot of adultery among those that are awakening to their true heritage, those that are waking up to the truth. And it's a shame, because it doesn't make sense for you to wake up into this truth and still be in the same problem, not having any kind of peace like the scriptures explain to us we're supposed to have, because you're still in sin. It doesn't make any sense for someone to wake up and still be, you know, rolling around in the mud, rolling around in the filth that they were in the world. So let's start off in Malachi. And once we get into the scriptures, you'll see, you know, how devastating it is not to have understanding of judgment, not to have understanding how to deal with the situations that are presented to us, whether you are in the truth or you're coming into the truth. So in Malachi chapter 2, that's what we're going to start off at. We're going to read from verse 15. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15. Actually, let's start above that. Let's start at Malachi chapter 2 and let's start at verse 10. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "Have we not all one Father?" And the answer to that question is what? Yes, we all have one Father. Who is that Father that we all come from? Adam. We all come from Adam. Have not one God created us? Remember, there's only one God, the only true God, the Most High Yahweh. He's the only one that existed before anything was created, before Christ, before the angels, before earth, right? He's the only one. So has not the Most High Yahweh created us? And the answer is yes. The Heavenly Father is our creator. We were created. We didn't come of ourselves. We didn't just pop up. Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother? So the Most High is asking the question to the Israelite man, if we all come from one Father, and if the Heavenly Father created us, then why are we betraying each other? Why are we dealing wickedly with hateful ways towards our neighbor, towards our nation, towards our brother? It said, by profaning The word profaning means by breaking, defiling, okay, by sinning, in other words, by profaning the covenant, the agreement of our fathers. Now, the reason the Most High, he starts off all the way from the beginning with Adam and with the creation, is because when you read in the scriptures about marriage, Genesis chapter 1 is the first place that it starts teaching you about marriage. What does it teach you in Genesis chapter 1? First and foremost, it teaches you that marriage is not between two men. Marriage is not two women. Marriage is between male and female. That's the first thing that the Most High shows us all the way back in Genesis chapter 1. Then in Genesis chapter 2, the Most High gets deeper into marriage. He gets real deep into the understanding of marriage and basically explains in a parable form, as we're going to find out in this chapter, the significance of Adam and how the Most High took a rib out of Adam, and out of that he created Eve. Even though they were female already created, they were not acceptable to the Most High for Adam. So the Most High gave Adam a woman. He says, she is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And he called her woman. That became his wife. So today, when we say, that's my woman, you're saying, that's my wife. The same thing how Adam was saying it. It says here in verse 11, Judah have dealt treacherously. Judah have dealt treacherously. So the kingdom of Judah at that time was dealing very wickedly against their brothers, against their own nation. They were betraying their people. It says an abomination is committed. And what the Most High is saying, what they're doing is filthy, disgusting. What they're doing is detestable, something that he hates. It says, an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord Yahweh, which he loved. And what that means that instead of, as we're going to read when we get down, instead of marriage being holy, Judah has profaned, defiled, made it something disgusting before the Most High. And here it is that in the past, our nation used to love the Most High and his ways. Our people used to love his commandments because they knew that it brought about peace, wisdom, and it built us as a nation. He profaned it how? It says, and have married the daughter of a strange God. What it means, he have married the daughter of a strange God. Judah married a woman of another nation. That's what it means. You had a lot of people in ancient Israel that were committing sin by marrying women of other nations. So they were marrying Moabites, which are today's so-called Chinese. They were marrying Africans, like Ashdod, like the scripture talks about, which are Hamites, basically. They were marrying Philistines. They were marrying all the different nations that were around them instead of dealing with their own people. So that's why the scripture says that Judah have profaned what is holy, meaning he had profaned the holy marriage that the Heavenly Father intended for our nation. And when you think about it, right, the Most High, he gave us wisdom from the beginning. All throughout the book of Genesis, before the law was even given through Moses, because the laws were from the beginning, from Genesis chapter 1, the laws already existed. It might have not been understood by the generations that were there because of their wickedness, or it might have not been, you know, fully taught. But it was there from the beginning. Because when you read from chapter 2 of Genesis, when the Most High created Eve from the rib of Adam, what the Heavenly Father was trying to teach is that the only woman that is fitting for Adam, for a spiritual man, for a man that is created of the Heavenly Father, for a son of God, is a woman of his own kind. So for example, for us Israelite men and Israelite women, the only people that are fitting for you to be married to, the only people that are acceptable in the eyes of the Most High for you to be married to, are your own people. And not just by nationality, but they have to be what? Believing in the truth. They have to be believing. Just like you believe, it will only be fitting for you to be what? With a believer. So it says here in verse 12, the Lord Yahweh will cut off the man that doeth this. So what does it mean the Most High will cut off? That means the Most High will cut off his soul, will destroy that man that doeth this. So when you see brothers that are justifying that sin in this time period, that be married to these white women and trying to talk about the Israelites, or they be married to Chinese and they're talking about, well, we accept those Gentiles and everything like that. Guess what? Those brothers are going to get destroyed in the second coming of Christ. They're going to be cut off. Their soul will be cut off. The master and the scholar. So because a lot of them, they claim to be teachers, scholars, masters. They want to be looked upon highly because they have put on titles. They're going to be cut off. It doesn't matter who they are. It says, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offering an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And when it says, and him that offering an offering to the Lord of hosts, even the priest, there were priests in ancient Israel that were doing this, and the Most High said, I'm going to cut that man off. I'm going to destroy that man who does that. So in other words, that's the judgment for someone that does interracial marriage. Someone that marries outside of our nation. Because when you marry outside of our nation, you are dealing treacherously against your brother, against your neighbor, against your people. You're betraying your nation. And this ye have done, again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, and with weeping, and with crying out. Who was crying? The sisters. The Israelite sisters, that they were seeing the men of Israel, instead of choosing them for wives, they were going around marrying women of other nations. They were going around marrying the Edomite, going around marrying the Egyptian, marrying the Moabite, marrying the Arab, instead of marrying the Israelite woman. So the Israelite woman was going to the Heavenly Father crying. The Most High said, look, you're covering my altar with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore. So when the people were going to offer to the Most High the sacrifices from the priests, the Most High wouldn't accept it because those priests were wicked to him. So he wouldn't accept the offerings that they were given. It says, or receive it with goodwill at your hand. So he did not accept it. It was not something that he enjoyed. Yet ye say, look how Israel responded to the Most High. Wherefore? Meaning why? Why are you not accepting our sacrifices? Why are you not accepting our offerings? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth. Who has been our wife from the beginning? From the beginning, our wife has always been of our kind. Adam had Eve. When you read about our forefather Abraham, Abraham dealt with an Egyptian woman, and the Most High said, no, cast her out. And the Most High was pleased that he had given a child to Abraham from his kind, from Sarah, who was his sister. Now, we know that we're not supposed to marry our sisters, but Abraham didn't have that understanding, okay? Later on, Isaac, the Most High put the spirit on his father Abraham, telling his servant, go and get my son a wife. Make sure that she's not a Canaanite, meaning an African or Hamite. Make sure that she is of my people. So he went back to Abraham's relatives and found Rebekah, his cousin. And yes, it is lawful for you to marry your cousins, according to the Bible. That's another topic, another time. So here it is that Isaac married Rebecca, and then when Isaac had Jacob and Esau, Esau married Arabs, Africans. Isaac and Rebecca was not happy with that. So they said to Jacob, if you do the same thing as your brother Esau, our life will be pointless. Go unto your mother's family, which is Abraham's family, and find a wife. And who did Jacob marry? Rachel and Leah, who were also what? His cousins. So with that, what I'm trying to show you that from our youth, our wife was always a woman of our nation, of our people. Why is that important? Because we are the only people that the Heavenly Father promised the Holy Spirit to. He only promised it to the nation of Israel. So if you with a so-called white woman, not only is she not going to get salvation, how is she going to help you spiritually to fight lust? How is she going to help you to encourage you to speak comfortable words and be kind? And how is she going to have the spirit to do any of the things that is required by the laws of the Most High when she's a child of Satan? You know what I'm saying? Instead, what you're going to have is what? The constant conflict where she's going to try to be what? According to her nation and her gods, and you being according to the Heavenly Father. You're always going to have that clash. And at some point, one has to compromise to the other. And you know what's going to happen, right? If you are the one compromising to her, you are into, she became your god. You are into idolatry. And if she compromises to you, then at some point she's going to get tired of it. Because she doesn't have the spirit to understand the laws of the Most High. So she's going to leave. She's going to walk out on it. So that's why the Most High says that he has been witness between us and the wife of our youth. It says, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. So earlier we read that we were dealing treacherously against our brother. But it's showing you what? That when you marry outside of your people, you're not only offending the sisters, you're also offending your brothers. Because remember, your brothers are having daughters. So if your brother, who's supposed to be of your nation, of your heritage, who's teaching his daughters to keep the laws, to walk in the commandments, is unable to find an Israelite man to marry his daughter, you also offending him. Because if you're choosing an Edomite, a so-called white man, over your own people, you're basically in whoredom. You're basically betraying your nation. Instead of building up the nation, instead of causing our nation to grow, you're causing it to what? To be destroyed from within. So that's why the scripture says, you have dealt treacherously, meaning betrayed your wife. Yet she is that companion. So the Most High created the Israelite woman to be your companion and the wife of thy covenant. Because when the Heavenly Father made the agreement with Abraham, the agreement was not only with Abraham, the agreement was also with Sarah, Abraham's wife. That's why her name was changed to Princess. To teach us that the Israelite woman is also part of the agreement. The Most High made an agreement with her as he did with the men. Okay, like look at some of the groups that are out there. And instead of teaching how they were righteous sisters in the scriptures, they teach that, you know, the Israelite woman is nothing. They call her a nigger woman or whatever the case may be. And instead of teaching brothers how to guide their house in the ways of the commandments of the Most High, how to walk as an example so that your wife, who might be an unbeliever, starts seeing that this is the truth. Instead, they're teaching them, get rid of her and go to a white woman. That's betraying your nation. That's not building the nation up. It doesn't matter how long you stand out in the corners, talking whatever. It does not build up our nation. That is destroying the nation from within. From within. So that's why you can't listen to every brother that is on the internet, or every group that is on the internet. You know what I'm saying? That's why we don't have a YouTube channel, because we're not YouTubers. We're not trying to emulate anybody or compete or be in the spirit of strife with any brothers. Paul didn't need YouTube, or John the Baptist didn't need YouTube, or Christ didn't need YouTube to gather the people of Israel. There's a way and a standard that is written in the scriptures that speak for itself. And the fulfillment of the prophecy is going to happen without YouTube and without all the so-called free sites that our people go to. So it says here in verse 15, did not he make one? It's showing you that this is going back to Adam. When it says, did not he make one? Remember he said, you shall no longer be twain, but one flesh. So he no longer two, he made them one. Yet he had the residue of the Spirit. What that means, yet had he the residue of the Spirit, meaning within Adam, within Eve, they have a portion, a remnant of the Spirit. So what the Most High is showing us is that this is spiritual. It's not only about the fact that she's of your nation, but the fact that this is spiritual, that the woman that you're getting is basically supposed to be of the Spirit of the Most High. When you read in other parts of the Bible, in the book of Tobit, it tells you that during the creation, certain men were meant for certain women. They were from the beginning, before they were even born, they were already meant to be married to each other. So when you read, when you hear people say, oh, that's my soulmate, they're not lying. Sometimes you have people that are that really find, you know, their soulmate. And then when you look in the scriptures, every time that people did end up married, you know, like Abraham to Sarah, Isaac to Rebecca, Jacob with the two wives, Rachel and Leah, it was all ordained by the Most High. You can see how the Most High miraculously brought them together. When you read the book of Tobit in the Apocrypha, it shows you how miraculous marriage could be, how the Most High intervenes and makes sure that, you know, you end up with the person that is meant for you. So if you're a righteous man and you have a righteous spirit, then that woman that is meant for you, that is righteous, she will also have the same spirit and she will be a help to you in that fashion. But if you're a wicked man, you're going to get what? A wicked woman. Okay, so if you're evil, you'll get an evil person with you. So it says here, yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? And why would the Most High want you to be one? One flesh. Because being one flesh means being of the same mind, of the same understanding, serving the same God. Everything is one. You're going back to that one God, that one baptism, that one faith, that one Lord, that one Spirit, etc., etc. That's the whole purpose. That's the reason why. That he might seek a godly seed. So what happens is that if you have an Israelite man that has the Spirit of the Most High serving him in truth and righteousness, and that woman is one with him, meaning she has the same spirit, then what's going to happen with the children? The children are going to be raised up godly. Meaning the children are going to be righteous as well. Because the Most High wants out of the nation of Israel for children to come out and be taught righteousness. Like when you read about Abraham, the reason the Most High chose Abraham is because he knew Abraham will teach his sons the truth and lead them back to the Heavenly Father. So this is like a prophecy right here in verse 15 about how the Most High seeks out of the nation of Israel for in marriage for the outcome to be that their children will be godly. That godly seed is talking about Christ and Israel. When you look at Christ, right, how he came to be. He came to be from Joseph and Mary. It didn't happen like in other times in ancient Israel where you have wicked men marrying women of other nations. Because when they marry women of other nations, the sons and the daughters were not being raised in the commandments, were not being raised worshiping the Heavenly Father, Yahweh. So they were confused in between two faiths, the one of their mother and the one of their father. But when you look at Christ, who was raised by Mary and Joseph, what kind of man came out of that? A savior. What kind of man came out of that? A righteous man. A man that was determined to fulfill the prophecies of the Heavenly Father for the love that he had to the Most High and for the love that he had for his people. Regardless what it took, he was willing to basically sacrifice himself for his nation. That's what the Most High seek. A godly seed like that. And it says, therefore, take heed to your spirit. So you got to take heed. Watch what you do. Watch what you do. Because if you deal with a woman of another nation, man, you ain't greater than Solomon. You ain't wiser than Solomon. Solomon, he thought he could make these women submissive to him that were from other nations. And what ended up happening to him? He ended up becoming an old fool, where those women deceived him into worshiping false gods. So that's why the Most High says, take heed to your spirit. Like in another part of the scripture says, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. So when you think you're strong, I'm standing. Nah. She ain't going to convince me to worship no other god. Take heed to your spirit. Pay attention to what the Heavenly Father is saying, because it is going to happen. Thus saith the Lord. It says, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. You know what's dealing treacherously with the wife of your youth? Besides the fact that you like trying to marry another woman of another nation, and besides trying to betray your own people. When a husband wants to divorce his wife, because that's what the next verse is going to go into. When a husband wants to divorce his wife, wants to get rid of her, and she did not commit any sin worthy of death, she did not commit adultery, she did not commit fornication, even if she's an unbeliever, because you were also an unbeliever, and now you're learning, so she also has to learn. You want to get rid of her because you're angry at her for something in the world, or you're angry at her for whatever reason. Like, there was a brother, man. Let me tell you a quick story, right? There was a brother that from Chicago that was listening in through Skype and stuff like that. And this brother would call every week with the same question. And his question essentially, when you really examine it, when it boiled down to it, his question was, can I get rid of my wife? She doesn't believe in Christ. Sister didn't commit no adultery. The sister didn't commit no fornication. You know what I'm saying? But the sister obviously was struggling in believing in the truth. Now, he's saying, oh, she, you know, I show her this scripture and she don't agree with it. I'm like, so show her this scripture and that scripture. Does she believe in the Bible? Yeah, she does. But, you know, she's still caught up in, you know, whatever. So I'm like, show her, you know, the scripture says this, the scripture says that. Show her within the Bible. Right? Now, at the end of the day, if the sister says that she doesn't believe, but she's willing, and we're going to go through this tonight, if it be the Lord's will. She's willing to keep the commandments, so that means she's going to get rid of all that stuff. She's going to follow the commandments because she loves you. In due time, if you are a good example to her, she will also understand. Proof of that is the brother that, you know, comes on Skype. And many other brothers have come into the truth and had to go back and teach their wife. I've even seen sisters that came into the truth and understood the scriptures and go back to the man that they were dealing with in the world, to their husband, and explain what they learned and brought them to the truth. You know what I'm saying? Those brothers wanted to stay with their wives, so they were like, all right, I'll give it a chance. And once they listened enough, they were like, oh, snap, this is the truth. But if you slapping your wife, if you beating your wife, if you abusing her, that's dealing treacherously with your wife. How is she going to learn? How can she respect you? How can she look at you as a man of the Most High? How can she walk in the Spirit with you when you don't stay in the Spirit? When you basically don't have no self-control, you basically still in the world dealing in the spirit of hatred. And that's the spirit that some brothers come in. And that's the reason why their marriage is not successful. That's why they're not one. But instead, they're constantly battling with each other. Constantly arguing. Constantly having problems. That brother was calling me every week with his problems. But then when he gets corrected about the scriptures, you know, and I'm talking about me correcting him about obvious things. Obvious things like, where are your fringes? Where's the fringes of your daughters? He get offended. So, a wicked man gets a wicked woman. What the type of wife that he was with or is with, you know what I'm saying, is as a result of his own actions. That's basically what it boils down to. You know, you can't blame the passenger for who's driving the car, if you know what I'm saying. He was the one driving the car. So it says here in verse 16, Malachi chapter 2 and 16, "For the Lord Yahweh, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away." What does that mean? That he hateth putting away? The Most High hates divorce. The Most High, Yahweh, the only true God, he did not intend for you to divorce. It says, "For one covereth violence with his garment." And what that means is, the person might do violence to his wife, whether it be physical abuse, whether it may be him throwing her out, divorcing her, and then he try to cover it up, like nothing, like, oh, she's wicked. Like, he don't have a part in it. Because that's what happens a lot of times in this truth. And that's like in the beginning of class, what I was saying is, it's a shame that you have a lot of brothers and sisters that are being taught that they're Israelites, but they're not being taught how to be an Israelite. There's a difference between finding out who you are and walking in the way of the commandments. Walking according to what an Israelite it really is. Because what happens a lot of times is a brother or sister comes into the faith, and let's say they came in single, and they end up dealing with someone in the camp, because that's what they call it, in the camp that they were involved in, and then they leave that camp. So the woman leaves that camp, or the man leaves that camp, and they leave behind their wife. And none of them, there's no accusation of whether she committed adultery and is not brought before the judges. Nothing scriptural, nothing done in order. So the woman goes to another camp now, and she marries another man. What just happened right there? Adultery. That's what happens. Or the brother gets involved, you know, with another sister. And when they ask him about his wife that he put away unjustly, he tried to cover it up. Oh, she was wicked. She was wicked. You know, that's why she's not around no more, because she's wicked. Oh, yeah, she was wicked, huh? Really? That's what happened? She was just wicked? Because if that was the case, you know, that she was just wicked, then that means you were wicked too. You know what I'm saying? Because then you were not supposed to deal in haste and just marry a woman just because you have the spirit of lust on you. That's why you got to be careful who you deal with in marriage. But if you came from the world and you were already in a relationship, that person that you came in, you know, when you came in, that person, as we're going to read in the scriptures, you are not to divorce them because they don't believe. You have to make an effort to give them the same opportunity to learn as you were given by the Most High, Yahweh, and His Son. Give the opportunity to that person that you were dealing with in the world. As we read here, it says, "For the Lord Yahweh, the Lord God of Israel, saith, he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously." What does it show us? That a lot of people, they try to hide the divorce. But the Most High says the divorce is like when someone murders a person and they hide it. Or when someone does violence to another and they hide it with their garment. He said, but he sees it. So the Most High said, look, if you do that, I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to put you to death. Verse 17. "You have worried the Lord with your words." What do you mean you have worried the Lord with your words? Some of our people that claim to be believers of the Heavenly Father, they're so you know, righteous. And they're like, I believe in Yahweh and Most High. Oh, praises to him. They praise him with their lips. But their words don't actually fit the way they walk in this truth. Because then they turn around and they will teach lessons that are against the Heavenly Father's commandments. They will teach lessons that are against what marriage is. And it will make marriage seem as something that is no longer holy but profane. You got brothers that change the meaning of a whoremonger. You got brothers that change the meaning of what adultery is. You got brothers changing the meaning of what constitutes marriage. And what you don't see, that all that is covering the violence with a garment. What does that mean? Let's give an example. We all come from Adam. Right? Here comes the brother, you know, that believes you can marry women of other nations. The scriptures already showed us you can't do that. You cannot do that at all. So he covers up the violence or the hatred that he has for what? For his own people. So all the stuff that the so-called white man taught him, I don't like dark-skinned women, or, you know, I don't like women with this type of hair, is still in him. How you think that's going to reflect when he starts teaching his brothers? When he find out he's Israel and the brothers are out there in the world, how you think he's going to deal with his Israelite brother if he has that type of sentiment towards his sisters? He's going to have like that attitude like you a nigger and I'm not. I'm better than you. You know what I'm saying? And that's the type of spirit that they will walk in. That prideful spirit. What other kind of ways that brothers worry the Heavenly Father? The Most High gave us the law saying that if you deal with a woman sexually, she is your wife. But the brother will come and say, no, that's not true. You have to stand before a judge. And when you stand before a judge, then you're truly married. You just made the marriage, the thing that's holy to the Most High, as something profane. You made it profane. So that means that if the brother dealt sexually with the woman, but did not get a piece of paper from the white man, he's not really married. So he could just sleep with any chick and say, whoa, hold on, sis. I don't have no paper. You don't have no paper that say we are married. That's what will happen. And then if you do get the paper, divorce is based on who? Is it based on the Lord or is it based on the courts of the so-called white man? So what happens is that you shame those that are righteous in the ways of the Most High, because now your children who are being brought up and you're teaching this madness to, if they deal sexually, that your daughter, let's say, loses her virginity and you're believing that a piece of paper is what constitutes marriage. If you don't like the guy that she dealt sexually with, what, she's not going to be married to him? Or she's going to get the wrong understanding, like how the women are in the world right now, dealing sexually until they have a ring on their finger, until they stand before a so-called priest or a judge to give them vows. That's all adultery. So when you start examining all these different doctrines, really what it's teaching is to commit adultery. When a brother says that a man cannot have more than one wife in this time period, but in the kingdom you can, you know what I'm saying? And then you call that brother a whoremonger for having more than one wife, you have the mind of an adulterer. Because there is no scripture that calls a man that actually took the woman into his house and provides for her raiment, duty of marriage, and food, raiment, and duty of marriage, and actually says, this is my wife, and is providing for her. Nowhere in the scriptures does it call that man a whoremonger. What you essentially are teaching is that he's what? That he is to commit adultery by putting her away without cause. So this is why the Most High says, ye have worried the Lord with your words. Because a lot of our people they say things that are not found in the Bible. Yet ye say, wherein have we worried thee? Wherein have we worried him? So we say, how did we make you tired, O Heavenly Father? How are we wearing you out by what we're saying? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. Because that's exactly what happens. You're saying that everyone that is evil, they're doing it right. So here it is. Your understanding of marriage is based on the world, on the evil that is out there in the world. And you're calling that good instead of teaching the people properly of what marriage is. Or when a brother deals with a woman from another nation and they talk about, well, if he loves her, then they're trying to justify it with love. If he loves her, no, love is the keeping of the commandments. Don't give me that fictional love that you don't even know how to define. It's hard to explain. No, it's not hard to explain. It's actually very easy when your mind is in the right thing. When your mind is not on her bodily features, when your mind is not on lust, it is very easy to explain what love is. So the scripture says, and he delighteth in them. And he said, oh, and the Most High blesses them. Look, they being wicked and the Most High is with them. He said, where is the God of judgment? And this is what the people of Israel said. Where is the God of judgment? I committed adultery. Nothing happened to me. Not yet. Not yet. Don't think the Most High, who lives forever, has to rush about destroying you. He doesn't. Okay?